BST, Taos of Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back to the homeland of Dundalk. I know a lot of folks are saying, doing a crab cake tour at Drug City? Yes, we're going to be at the fountain at Drug City. It turns out it's my daughter-in-law's mother. So I don't know what that makes her to me. I don't know in a relation, but it's her favorite place. So it turns out my son's coming over. It's going to be a big day on Friday. Todd Crandall's coming over. Lots of childhood memories. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Be giving away some scratch-offs as well, maybe some Game of Life scratch-offs as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. This guy does it here each and every Thursday. Last week it was pregame. This week, it's sort of pre-game as we play on Monday night, a weird time in scheduling. Always great to have Dennis Colazzo's back on. You can follow him, of course, at D. Colazzo Show, as well as the Sunday Sports Voice, and as well as 3 until 5 here on Thursday afternoon as we get ready for Philadelphia and Houston again. It's Philadelphia and Houston every night this week, Dennis, whether it's baseball or football. Undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not sick of them yet. I hope they grease down their poles and there's cheaters down in Houston. They'll win again. So I'm fine with Philadelphia winning. But this is a weird week of sitting around on the couch watching everybody else play.
It's a very weird week, Nestor, highlighted by Monday night's scrum between the Bengals at the Browns. Big-time division implications. So it's kind of nice to sit back and watch the rest of the NFL battle it out and watch a bunch of these 2-5 teams go toe-to-toe. And fortunately for the Ravens, they're back half of their schedule. It's loaded with these type of teams, these less-than-mediocre teams. So they have a favorable schedule. They get by the Saints and keep the momentum going. Going to the break at 6-3 would be fantastic.
Have we figured out who stinks yet? Because here's what. Denver's on the schedule. We think they stink. Panthers are on the schedule. We think they stink. And then and certainly we looked at the Saints after Tampa because we thought Tampa was good. Now they stink, right? And we looked at New Orleans and thought, well, they're going to deal Kamara, right? I mean, maybe we'll make a deal before Tuesday. By the time somebody listens to this, we'll have DJ Moore here or whatever. Who knows? But I would say that the Saints showed themselves – well on Sunday, and the Raiders, maybe they stink. I mean, week to week, I thought the Bears were good last week. They stink. The Commanders are okay. They're winning games. I don't know how they're doing it, but the league is very, very topsy-turvy in the middle where you're like, oh, we got an easier schedule. Do we? Is it going to be easier going to New Orleans next Monday night, really?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Nestor. That's a great question. The league is very top-heavy right now with the undefeated Eagles and their insufferable fan base, right? The Buffalo Bills are who they are. The Chiefs are up there in that conversation. Then you have the second tier, which I think includes the Baltimore Ravens, the Dallas Cowboys, and a handful of teams. But the rest of the league is just very, very mediocre. No one saw the beatdown that the Raiders would take at the hands of the Saints coming. But to your point, it's a week-to-week league. It's a league where anyone can beat anyone else. The Patriots were written off or dead. They come back and they face the Jets, and this kid, Mark Wilson, just throws 3 interceptions, gives the game away to the Patriots. Bill Belichick, right? He passes George Halas, I believe, for the most wins. But I tell you what, it's a very compelling league because for that reason, there's no layup. Even this game against the Saints makes me very, very nervous, Nestor.
Well, I mean, there's no layups in the league in general because the Ravens aren't good enough to have layups, right? Like, I don't know that the Bills talk about layups or the Chiefs, certainly the Eagles smelling themselves right now and beating up on the Steelers over the weekend, look like a shell of themselves. The elite teams, I don't think the Ravens are as good as the Bills. I don't think the Ravens are as good as the Chiefs yet. I don't think the Eagles, I don't know how good they are. I don't know how good the Vikings are. I look at the Ravens and say, if I want to, you know, blow purple smoke in their direction, I'd say they've had double-digit leads in every game. They're a really good team. So they blew a couple of them fine. Maybe the defense is suspect. Maybe the offense isn't going to light it up and throw the ball 50 times a game. But if they get healthy and they get Ajabo and they get Tyus Bowser back and at some point Dobbins comes running onto the field at Christmas time or something like that, and they're a +4 team at that point, going to be a playoff team in this division – I don't know if they're going to win the division. I don't know where the Bengals are, right? Like we're going to see them on Monday night. We're going to see the body of work for them and the Ravens. And we're going to see them play each other again later in the year. And the Bengals are playing a different kind of schedule than the Ravens are too. I would say if the Ravens don't make the playoffs, I'll be shocked, right? I mean, a lot would have to go wrong for the Ravens to not make the playoffs. But part of that would be, you think the Saints stink. You think the Panthers stink. You think the Broncos stink. Go beat them. Go beat them all. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're the team that's 10-4.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the schedule and it's not daunting at all. Injuries happened. What do the Bengals look like without Ja'Marr Chase? He's out for 4 to 6 weeks. And Tyler Boyd and Keith Higgins, T. Higgins, they're going to see some double coverage along the line. I think that changes the Bengals' offense dramatically. The Browns, we saw their scrappy crew, scrappy bunch led by Nick Chubb. And at some point, Deshaun Watson is going to come back. So he'll certainly have an impact in that second half of the season as well. So no lack of storyline in the NFL. There is a lack of compelling games, though. I mean, this league, like you said, it's a watered-down, mediocre league, and really not many teams are out of it right now, right? Everybody's still in. Everybody still has a chance. And the Ravens should be there until the very end at a minimum. I think that's the floor for this team. The ceiling, who knows, based on injuries, luck, et cetera.
For the quarterback situation in the league, every time I get together with you, we're talking about Lamar Jackson, his contract, and who will be Tampa's quarterback next year? Who will be Indianapolis' quarterback next year? Who will be Atlanta's quarterback next year? Who will be Carolina's quarterback by the time they get here, right? I mean, there are some places where there's a seat. There's some places where there's a lot of money. But where Lamar is right now, Houston, I mean, there's a lot of places out there that you start to look at this as we're now on the other half of the hump. We're going down the other side of the slope. Kid doesn't have a contract. He's holding signs up saying, pay him now, all of that. I don't know where the team is, and I don't know where their reality is, and I don't even know what the relationship is. And you and I had a long conversation with Leonard Raskin about money and happiness and Tom Brady. You and I talked about Cal Ripken and Tom Brady last week. The happiness quotient of what's going to make him happy. And whether Steve Bisciotti called tomorrow and said, here's $250 guaranteed, do you want it? Does he take it now? You know, is there anything he would take at this point? Or is he in the proverbial place of looking to play the field? And that's, boy, that's a dangerous spot. As I sat here and watched Manny Machado play baseball last week somewhere else, and just watching formerly franchise guys, as we would know it, they're in a dangerous spot with Lamar, and I don't think we can talk about that enough in regard to his contract.
No, we can't. I mean, you're right. We don't know how he feels right now. We don't know how the team feels. I think we can see how both sides feel and speculate on what the relationship is, but he's halfway there, Ness. So to me, if I'm him, he's rolled the dice to this point. Why not check what his market value is at the end of the season? But it's not going to come without pushback. It's not going to come without hard feelings. I think all of us will be shocked to see him show up at OTAs or training camp without a brand new contract. So you can expect a holdout at a minimum. And then where do you go from there? Calluses develop, particularly when you're dealing with the player directly versus having the filter of having a professional sports agent representing him. So I think that's where it really, really gets sticky between the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. Lamar could
take there is personal time here, though, right? This bye week and all of this that.
Oh, there was a time last year, Dester. I said last year before the bye week, he was playing the best ball of his life. And I thought, you know, for sure the Ravens would make him a bona fide offer. And I was really surprised they didn't put it to bed. It would have been a lot. If their intention was to make this guy the franchise quarterback and keep him and retire him a Raven someday and put him in a ring of honor, that was the perfect time for them to do it. They missed their window. They really did.
Dennis Galatzos is here. He won't miss his window. He'll be here 3 until 5 on Thursday as well as on Sunday morning with a litany of guests and getting ready for sitting around and watching these games. I've red zoned, and I know sometimes you go fishing on weekends when the weather's nice. And
bingo. Yeah, guess what's fishing Sunday at Loch Raven? You're looking at him. So absolutely.
What'd you catch?
Smallmouth bass and largemouth bass. It was a beautiful day on the lake. Not many people were out. And we took in all the fall colors of trees. I just posted a picture today on Twitter with all the foliage, you know, red, yellow, green.
It is so beautiful.
It is just amazing.
I have never experienced a fall like this one in living in the suburbs. I lived in the city for 20 years. I would get out on the road and drive somewhere and see it.
Sure.
But to immerse – and to go through tree-lined streets every day. And yeah, it's a beautiful couple of weeks. It really, really is. And my eyes see it differently as a 54-year-old for sure. But I'll say this, my eyes see the NFL differently, obviously, after considering how many airplane rides, airports, you know, all that I gave to covering the league and being around the league. Doing it from home now by force, whether it's turning the game off at 11 o'clock and rolling into bed with my cat 5 minutes after the game and worrying about the press conference at 4 a.m. when I get up for one that I can't ask questions to, or whether it's three consecutive Sundays now where the Ravens aren't playing, right? So Ravens play at Sunday 1 o'clock or whatever. I'm not red zoning. I'm watching the Ravens, right? I keep an eye on the other games. But this was one Sunday, two Sundays, and then three Sundays because they have a real bye where you're watching the rest of the league, the rest of these teams, the rest of these quarterbacks, the rest of these head coaches, the rest of these broadcasters in some cases, like just going around and seeing the vibe, seeing 100,000 people take over the Rams stadium. I didn't know the 49ers had fans, let alone that many fans coming in. So like I'm watching the rest of the league and it does really remind me how close the Ravens are to winning a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like they're good enough to be that team at the end, even seeing the Bills and all that passion for them on Sunday night, but watching what's happening in the league, it's great to give a day on a Sunday to sit on the couch in red zone. For me, it was.
Yeah. You know what? If I have nothing else going on, I'll do that. But nice Sunday with decent weather. If it's 55 degrees, 6 degrees or better, I'm getting out and dropping a line in water somewhere. But and then I'll come home and watch all the highlights that I need to watch. And the game Sunday night between the Packers and the Bills, I mean, it was done by halftime. You just saw the Packers had no juice, couldn't keep up with them. Bills have a tremendous defensive line. The way they're able to rotate those guys in there reminds me of the 2000 Ravens when they were able to, they had a six-man rotation on the defensive line, keeping those guys fresh. They're going to be a very tough out up in Buffalo come late December, early January. And that's what the Ravens brain trust has to build. I know the trade line is coming up very, very soon. Several players have been linked to the Ravens. Interesting to see if Eric DaCosta comes off of those valued draft picks and turns him into a bona fide player. We can all hope for DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore changes this offense, but we'll see. We'll see if we have more of the same if Eric makes a bold move here.
Look, nobody cares more about the draft than you. You're Mr. Draft Guy here, right? So, I mean, are you? And look, you're not careless in your decision making, no. And you run a place over at Coons Baltimore Ford. Are you about to purchase the FM Picks shirt or no? Are you no?
absolutely am. I mean, I think you have to be prudent, but I think it's if they can get the right player that can push them over the top, they need an Anquan Boldin type. Is that guy out there, right? They don't have that guy. You can just throw the ball in his general direction.
Did you see that kid in Philadelphia go up over two Steelers, just pull the ball down?
A.J. Brown, I mean, you got to give Harry Roseman all the credit in the world. A.J. Brown and this Ravens offense makes them a bona fide Super Bowl contender. Not that they're not. But he puts him over the top because there's a guy you got to double cover. So if you double cover him, what happens? Who covers Mark Andrews, right? So he really puts a lot of pressure on the defense. He opens up the running game. He gets the safety out of the box. A guy like that changes your offense. Doesn't hurt them that they have Devonta Harris Smith on the other side either. So, but A.J. Brown, there's a guy worth giving up whatever they gave up for him. I give him all the credit in the world. They went all in. He made Jalen Hurts a better quarterback, right? Receivers can make your newsflash. Receivers can make your quarterback better. That's whether it's Jerry Rice and Joe Montana, they go hand in hand. They help their development. They give them confidence. And I for sure would have loved to have seen A.J. Brown number 11 in the Ravens uniform.
Well, in this offense, isn't Mark Andrews that guy for what they want to do, for as much as they want to pass? You and I talk about this all the time, how much they should be running versus in an ideal world. And, you know, Harbaugh always hated that question. Now that I can't ask him questions anymore, I would ask the question back in 19 and 20, what's ideal here? What are you trying to do? Because as much as I sit and hear players talk amongst themselves on these podcasts about like, no, A.J. Brown wants to come here because he's not getting the ball 12 times a game, not getting the ball 14 times a game. And you roll your eyes at that. But I think that That's I saw Willie Snead running around late at night the other night, right? Like, I saw Snead 4 on the back. I'm like, he's still playing. Look at that. He's cracking down on guys. He's never going to be a guy that gets the ball a lot, but that's –
You may be on something there, and maybe that's a conversation between Lamar Jackson and the Ravens brain trust, and maybe they take another look at Greg Roman and his offense and his schemes. And I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they've gone all in on him. They supposedly have made this offense the best for him to fit his skill set. But
they drafted number one wide receivers twice during his tenure.
Well, then you trade for the guy, right? You trade for an Anquan Boldin type.
Yeah, I mean, we went through this with Flacco for years, but we're like, hey, this is what happens when Mark Clayton doesn't happen and Breshad Perryman doesn't happen, and you can't steal a Clarence Moore in the fourth round. Like, guys, do you go trade for Boldin and you win the Super Bowl?
You do, and they should have kept Boldin. Probably Ozzie's worst mistake was letting him go, and I think in retrospect he would agree with that statement. But you know, Mark Andrews can't be your go-to guy. It's got to be a wide receiver. He doesn't stretch the field. That's the reason why Tyreek Hill has made their quarterback, the Miami quarterback, to a much better quarterback. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. They take the top off the defense. They help open up all the underneath stuff. Cooper Kupp. You got Mike Gesicki. You need that wide receiver. You saw the jump balls that AJ Brown got. It wasn't the fact that. Jalen Hurts put it on the money. You know, the ball was in the general vicinity, and he just out-muscled two guys twice. He had three touchdowns, I believe, in a half. The guy was amazing. Should have had a fourth. But that's the kind of receiver, a wide receiver one. If you can trade for the real deal, you trade for the real deal. If I'm Eric DaCosta, I'm on the phone today with the Panthers, and I'm giving up some draft capital for DJ Moore.
F them picks, says Dennis Colazzo.
You rather have him or DeSean Jackson? I mean, DeSean Jackson, you know, you said what was the over under 3 or 4 catches in 2 games?
His word took, zero.
Take the under. Zero might be the over under demarcation line, right? So it is what it is.
Three might be the over under on snaps, let alone, you know, receptions.
You and I, a week ago, we went over, you started talking about all the receivers the Ravens had that they were the last leg, right? They had a little bit of tread left on the tires. Let's get a guy.
Macklin, Wallace, Crabtree, hey, Bryant. We can go through the list, right?
Get me a receiver that has more tread on the tires ahead of him than behind him. Let's put it that way. I don't want bald tires anymore. I want full tread.
We brought Stokely back here, too. Maybe I should call him.
Hey, Stokely, I saw Boldin on the a couple of weeks ago, right? He was up there, so maybe he can suit up. He'll be better than anything they roll out there right now anyway.
Dennis will be here. He is there. You can find him out on Twitter at DiColazzo Show. Until Elon Musk starts charging us $20 a month, we're all good. Hey, business, you know, it's not pleasure. It's business. He's out on Twitter. He will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, driving you home, getting you ready for another Houston, Philadelphia. Hey, are we greasing down the poles? You got any Phillies folks overworking at Coons Baltimore Ford or no?
They are insufferable. That's the fan. That's the word I always attach to Philly, the Philly fans. They really are. I hope both their squads lose.
That's impossible. Somebody's going to have to win.
Well, you know, go Dusty Baker, right? I'm down to root for a person in a series.
Just hope if the Astros win, they're not cheating this time. That's all.
You know what? Hard to say. It's still the same organization, right? Still the same ownership.
Happy Halloween. Happy All Saints Day to you. We'll lace them up again on Thursday. Dennis will be here. Tell everybody what's going on over Coons Baltimore Ford. Just a real quick little primer because have cars. Because
I have
a year and a half, you're like, I didn't have any cars.
Oh, my God. I have 150 in stock, 150 coming in this month, 300. I mean, I'm doing cartwheels and backflips, and it's a lot of fun. 250 pre-loved. So I have inventory, folks. Come see me. I'll save you money. I'll put you in the car today.
Test drive. That's something like I thought that was drive. A dinosaur test drive, no, right?
Nope, not anymore.
I'm letting my wife know. All right, it's time.
Now you can actually feel the wheel. How about that?
Four-wheel drive, baby. Let's go. Here we go. I am Nestor. He is Dennis. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Sort of a bye week. It's not a bye week. We play the Saints. It just feels like a bye week, but that's next week. We're BaltimorePositive.com.